You're tuned to AM 580, where you can also listen online at WILL.UIUC.edu. It's time for our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49. In Kansas City, December wheat opened at 5:35, up 2.25 on the open March, 5:45, down a half. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 5:32, up 16.5 on the open. March, 5:38, up 13. May, 5:18, up 9. July, 4:52, up 6 on the open. December corn opened at 3:01, up 2.75 on the open. March, 3:10, up 1.75. May, 3:14.5, up 2. July, 3:18.5, up 2.25. September, 3:16, up 3. December, 3:16, up 1.75. March, 3:24, up 2 on the open. December oats opened at 2:45, up 4.75 on the open. March, 2:51, up 6. November beans opened at 5.85, up 5.25 on the open. January, 5.98.5, up 4. March, 6.09, up 4.75. May, 6.15, up 4.25. July, 6.24, up 4.25. The red line, November, 6.39, up 2 on the open. October soybean meal opened at 1.73, up a dollar on the open. December, 1.75, up 1.70. October soybean oil opened at 24.75, up 13 on the open. December, 25.08, up 19. At the Merck, October feeders opened at 107.70, up 25 on the open. November, 105.65, up 2.5. January, 104.25, up 22.5 on the open. October live cattle opened at 88.60, down 15 on the open. December, 87.75, up 5. February, 89.90, up 2.5. April, 88.95, up 5 on the open. October lean hogs open at 65.25, up 22.5 on the open. December, 61.40, up 40. February, 63.50, up 20. April, 64.10, up 2.5 on the open. And February pork bellies opened at 90.20, unchanged on the open.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Well, we were waiting on USDA's October report in your mindset to see whether or not we had any interest in buying back corn futures and at what price. On that report, you got just about everything you could have wanted in terms of the carryouts, smaller for corn, smaller for wheat. What are the smart moves?
Well, I don't know about smart moves. We've had some speculators and some short D's corn, long D's 07 as a way to buy back some of the be long the 07 without being outright long futures, and that didn't work out so well because of the way the wheat spread was. But, you know, from our standpoint now, the report said to the market and the corn two things. The commercial, who had been hedging and selling ahead of harvest, is probably not going to see many bushels come now because the farmers are going to hold it, and they're going to hold it tight. There is a lot more on-farm storage built this year, and we had looked at that and talked about that, and we talked about the LDP maybe not being there and maybe not the crop insurance being there. So from a hedger standpoint, we've done a fairly good job with the producers, and the bushels aren't going to come to the commercials now. So not only will the commercials probably have to cover those shorts because they're not going to have the physicals, they're going to probably have to come in and buy the futures. And we actually saw over the news wires just a few minutes ago that Iowa Grain was a noted buyer in corn so far on the opening. We wonder if that's not the start of some commercial buying. And we've been talking about that in the wheat. We'll also have to start looking at that in the corn now since the report.
So if the commercials are chasing this market higher, what does that mean for futures?
It puts you in a 1995-96 scenario, Dave, and that's where we're going to have to go back and look at and remember some big key points about 95-96. It's absolutely okay in our mindset to be friendly this market. There is a time window to be friendly, and there is a time window to start looking at getting some hedges in place, and we think that time window is after the first of the year. And so between now and the first of the year, we want to buy back some 06 crop. We may even come in and buy forward some 07 crop. At that stage, though, we have to start looking at how do we want to sell this crop out. And one of the biggest lessons I learned in 95 and 96 was that when you go from a carrying charge market to an inverted market where the front-end futures leads the back-end up, you do not want to be a big holder of cash grain in the bin, and you do not want to have a lot of unsold bushels in the bin as you go into harvest. And we think that's going to play out again this year. So we want to be long March, May, and July, and we want to start actively hedging in another 25 or 30 cents the DSO 7. But we don't want to actively hedge the DSO 7 unless we've got the paper positions underneath us first, because we really don't know what the upside potential is, because we still have a lot on the books to go higher if we don't buy acres here. And that's something, again, we've talked to the hedgers about. It's been really interesting. We've had a very good year from a hedger standpoint, but the spec side of the equation has not dealt us a very good hand of cards because we're in a historical time period. So we're trying to learn from that and say, let's look at the hedger side and what's the best thing to do in a historical time period, and that is don't have a lot of cash corn in the bin at the end of next year's harvest.
Let's look at some particulars, and let's start with the wheat, and let's start it from a world-ending stocks aspect. They came out with 119.30, which is 7 million metric tons less than the September report. You have maintained 117 as a benchmark. I want you to talk about that, because even though USDA dropped Australia to 11, numbers out of Australia say 8, which would put you under that benchmark.
Yeah, it's a good point to bring up, and I thank you for bringing it up, because I'd forgotten about that. What we're trying to do is combine the coarse grain ending stocks with the wheat ending stocks, and right now, after yesterday, we're within just a half a million metric ton of the identical number that we had back in 1980. Guess what? These wheat is within 6 cents or 5 cents of that 544.5 high from 1980. So if we take the Australian crop down and we are able to get back down below the 117 in the world wheat ending stocks, and the USDA doesn't raise the coarse grain ending stocks from here on out, then we're getting closer and closer and closer to that 1995 ending stocks for both of them, both wheat and coarse grains, and that's what our model's based upon.
In the corn, now we see D's at 306 and three quarters, spin at 309 and a half, a new contract high. Take it out to the red line, 318 and a half. Did you not say 317 and above, a number which is worth a sale?
Yes, it is. But we want to go back and say to ourselves, okay, how much does the producer have sold? How are his yields doing? I mean, there's a big difference between talking to a producer that is getting 200 bushel yields and dealing with $3 corn than a producer that is 20 bushels shy of what he thought he would get and feeling like he's too heavily sold when we started selling back at 252 to 258 on the D's board. So we really have to look at it individually, and we're starting with those people that have the tighter yield numbers, and those lower sales numbers need to be bought back more quickly, and we're doing that with the March initially. One of the things that we've talked about a lot with clients here is that they get tired of rolling calls and options. And one of the things we've tried to design here is let's go in and buy both March, May, and July options incrementally. As the market, you know, tries to correct some, we'll go after the deferred contracts. But if we do that day, then we won't have to roll as many positions, and we'll have the bulk of the, you know, re-ownership in place on those three contract months. That frees us up to go ahead and sell 07 later on down the road here when we're still trying to buy acres.
Turn your attention to the beans. Let me ask you this. Do Novis go above $6 post-harvest?
It's going to be hard post-harvest. It's going to be probably now or never, not to quote Elvis, but it's probably now or never. We've got a gap at 595 in Nov beans. We should be able to hit that and fill that. And then it gets to a slugfest. We've heard a lot of prospective shorts are in the market at around 605, 610. So it's going to be a slugfest above $6. The report didn't really help a lot. The report to us suggests it's going to be range-bound and that the wheat corn is going to continue to lead. The only thing we would say is the increase in demand on the report of both crush and exports, both of those in 1 month, was a surprise to us. And it says, hey, the demand's coming up with these prices, so you don't need to go down to those September lows again. And if you do, those lows are going to hold. So it really takes out of the realm of possibility LDP, and that goes back to, do farmers store on-farm beans? Our answer is yes. Do farmers store on-farm off-farm beans commercially at 20 to 30 cents? Our answer is no. There's not enough upside potential, and there's not enough downside potential to do that. dump the beans and come back in on paper as you get through the harvest time period.
Certainly with USDA increasing exports and crush, there's little chance for LDP in the short term.
That's exactly what we're saying, and we're saying that this gap area and above $6 is going to be a slugfest, and so it goes back to if you got to dump it and you can't store it in the bin, then make the easy call and just let it go and then come back in later on and look at repurchasing. You've got a little bit of a short-term negative mindset coming in, we think, because the South American weather, the dry areas of Argentina, the driest areas of Brazil, are all expected to get some pretty decent rain through the next few days. That's something we'll come back in on Monday and see if that actually happened or not.
And we had 20 seconds left, but just something else to bring up very briefly. Numbers out of South America, we're hearing now Brazil maybe start with a 50 million metric ton.
Yeah, and that's more realistic. That's exactly what we should be starting at instead of 55 to 56 or 58 to 59 and then have to bring it down all year long. So we're glad that the private estimates and the government estimates down there are starting low so that we don't keep guessing them high.
Very good, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Mike Zuzula, Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.
You're listening to WILO Urbana.